Well, I am thinking of a rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. Well, how we'll raise that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. When the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, how we'll shout when the redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over all the streets of gold, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, oh, that city will be bold, when the redeemed are gathering in. With their voices clear and strong, when the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, wash like snow and free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing, when the redeemed are gathering in. In our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. While we'll raise that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. We'll wash like snow, we'll be free from all sin.
Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board, when the redeemed are gathering in, and we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, yes, when the redeemed are gathering. Oh, when the redeemed, oh,
God bless you tonight. Good to be in service again together to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. I believe some of the redeemed are gathered tonight together. Amen. God bless you. Good to be associated with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. And good to have all you home folks with us and all the visitors as well. Good to have Brother David Seiler and his family with us this evening. He'll be speaking for us later on tonight. And his brother, Brother Jimmy Seiler, and different ones with us. Good to have each and every one of you with us this evening. We've got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. Want to just remind you, Lord willing, we'll be having service again tomorrow night as well at 7:30. Brother Wes Willis will be preaching for us. And then Sunday morning, Brother David will be preaching for us again. And then Sunday night, Brother Wes will be preaching again. Sister Jeannie Hoover, she injured her knee. We want to remember her in prayer. The Lord just give her a touch from him. She's in pain. And then Sister Christy injured her knee as well and is in pain. Want to remember her in prayer. And my little boy Philip, he's been battling with a migraine all day today. And then my brother Anthony, he's got a migraine this evening as well. They wanted to be in the service, and he just couldn't make it. So want to remember them in prayer. Also, we've got a couple of prayer requests here. It says, please pray for Tina Hicks. She has an ongoing condition of Barrett's disease. It's a serious condition and needs God's healing. That's a friend of Daniel Cooley's, Brother Daniel. We want to remember that request in prayer. And then it says, please pray for Hannah Powell, a junior at Christian Academy, was admitted to the hospital with a serious brain condition. And also, I believe it's the Lepke family experienced traumatic death of their father. So I want to remember these requests and prayers. I know many of these needs are very urgent, very serious, but we serve a God that's able to answer each one. Amen. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Did you come expecting tonight? Amen. Brother Bram said we would get what we come expecting. So, amen. I hope you came expecting tonight. Brother Yarbrough, would you just come lead us in a word of prayer over these requests tonight? Amen. I'm looking for what the Lord's got in store for us this weekend. Amen.
Lord, thank you tonight. God, I knew you was going to be here. I expected you all day. I knew when I came, I was going to feel your presence. And Lord, we do tonight. Thank you for being with us. Lord, we ask you to guide us and protect us. Keep your hand over us through these services, Lord. What excitement there is, Jesus, that we should have in us, God. Knowing that we get to come this whole weekend worshiping you, praising you. Oh, God, what excitement it makes me feel, Jesus. Lord, we ask you to be with each one of us tonight, Jesus. Lord, in these requests, spoken and unspoken, Jesus, we ask you to be with them. We know that you already have answered. Lord, let us reach out, God, by faith, and take everything it is that we're looking for tonight. I come expecting, excited, God, to come and to worship you and be able to praise you again tonight for all that's within me. Lord, we ask you also to text Brother Joseph, touching him, Lord, and all of these camps and getting started on Monday. Be with each, sir, each one that will come. The young people, God, touching the staff members out there, giving them strength and wisdom, guiding and protecting them, Lord. We ask you to be with us tonight, Jesus. Lord, leading and guiding us, Lord. We look forward to the word to be preached. Let it go deep down inside of us. Lord, we'll praise and thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you this evening. You can be seated. I believe Brother Barry's got a special for us. Amen. Appreciate that. Is Ruth still with us, or did she fall asleep? Amen. She's got a special for us tonight. Are you thankful for that promise? Amen. God bless you. Amen. Brother Furman, would you come at this time? He and Sister Stephanie and myself have a special that we're going to try tonight.
He came to dwell. top of Mount Zion is the city with glory in the field. Oh, I shall look on its beauty in the morning, reach that city on the hill.
Let's turn a few pages over to number 335. 335 in your hymn book. How many's got the victory tonight? Amen. God bless you. Oh, when I rose up this morning, I didn't have a doubt. Oh, I knew that the Lord would bring me out. Oh, I got down on my knees. I said, Lord, help me please. Then I rose up shouting praise and victory. Oh, and victory is mine. Yes, victory is mine. His victory today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Oh, when I woke up this morning, church, I didn't have a doubt. Oh, I knew that the Lord would bring me out. So I got down on my knees. I said, Lord, if you please. Then I rose up shouting praise and victory. Oh, and victory is mine. Yes, victory is mine. His victory today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, Satan, get thee behind. 'Cause victory today is mine. Let's sing it this way. Oh, happiness is mine. Yes, happiness is mine. Oh, happiness today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, just get thee behind. Oh, happiness today is mine. And peace is mine. Oh, peace is mine. His peace today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, just get thee behind. Oh, peace today. What about joy? Let's sing about it tonight. Oh, yes, joy is mine. Oh, joy is mine. His joy today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, get thee behind. 'Cause joy today is mine. Amen. God bless you. We're going to sing that again in just a moment. Going to ask Brother David if he would come and bring the word to us this evening. He's been a pastor. He's an evangelist. He's a missionary. So I don't know if he'll ever get to be a prophet or a teacher, but he's got a lot of it covered so far. But hey, man, we appreciate our brother. He travels all over. I think he spent about 2 months in South America last year ministering, and he's been all over Africa and different places, I believe. And I appreciate brothers. I told him, I said, Brother Bram said, if you can't go, help send someone, is what Brother Bram said. So we appreciate brothers like that that are willing to go. It's easy. You know, I'm getting ready to take an evangelistic trip to Florida, and that's kind of easy. We kind of look forward to those type of evangelistic trips, Brother David, but he goes into some places that are very difficult, and I appreciate brothers that are willing to go like that. But let's just sing it again together as we invite him to the pulpit. Amen. How many appreciates the presence of the Lord here tonight? Amen. We always want to make him welcome. Let's sing it again. Oh, victory is mine. Yes, victory is mine. Oh, victory today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, Satan, get thee behind, 'cause victory today is mine. Oh, when you wake up in the morning, church, don't have no doubt, 'cause I know that the Lord will bring you out. Oh, you just get down on your knees, you say, Lord, help me please. Then you'll raise up shouting praise and victory. Oh, yes, victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Yes, victory today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, just get thee behind, 'cause victory today is mine. What about the Holy Ghost? Oh, the Holy Ghost is mine.
this morning, I didn't have a doubt. I knew that my Lord would bring me out. So I got down on my knees. I said, Lord, help me please. I got up singing, shouting victory. Help me now. I said that victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today. Yes, it's mine. I told Satan to get me behind. Well, victory today, it is mine. How many believes you got the victory? Amen. Well, it ain't the message's fault if you ain't got it. It ain't God's fault if we ain't got it. It's just our own fault. Amen. I'm thankful that the Lord's given us an opportunity to be able to come together. I greet you in the name of the Lord. It's certainly a privilege to be here with you in this series of meetings, and just trust the Lord's going to do something. How many believes the Lord's going to move for us? I just believe He is. While you're standing with me, I'm going to invite you into the Scripture. The book of 2 Samuel chapter 9 tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 9. We're going to invite you there. We'll start with verse 1, and then we will read down a few verses of Scripture, and we'll give you our subject, and then we want to pray tonight. We certainly appreciate your pastor, Brother Nathan, allowing us to be able to come and share what's on our heart tonight. And you can just kind of let your hair down if you got any left. We just come to put our shoulder to the wheel with you. Certainly ain't going to bring anything new, and I'm glad it's that way. Somebody said, well, Brother David, you got a ministry? Yeah, I do. It's to tell you what the prophet said. Amen. So, if that offends you. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. And David said, is there yet any that is left to the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? That word kindness, of course, it means grace. That I may show him grace for Jonathan's sake. And there was the house of Saul, a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God? It literally means the grace of God unto him. That I may show the kindness of God unto him. And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto king, behold, he's in the house of Micher, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. And the king David sent and fetched him out of the house of Micher, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, said, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. And I will, watch the word now, restore thee all of the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou should lookest upon such a dead dog as I am? And then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I've given to thy master's son all that's pertained to Saul and all of his house. So thou, therefore, and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land, shall bring in the fruits, and thy master's sons shall may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Hallelujah. Amen. Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants, and Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. Now watch David say this. But as for Mephibosheth, says the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. He shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. I'd like to use this for a subject tonight. The Lord will help us, and you'll pull with me just for a few moments. The day that grace became amazing. The day that grace became amazing. Let's just bow our hearts and ask the Lord to help us. The day that grace became amazing. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that we're able to come here into this place tonight. And
Lord, we come with expectations as your prophet has taught us that anytime we come to the house of God that we should come expecting. And Lord, we come to, Lord, just to expect that you would just move in our midst tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would just take the word of life and may you break it to us once again. And Lord, may you anoint us each one, not just the ministry, but may you anoint us all together. Lord, as we've come into this place to hear something from your word. And we ask, Lord, that you would take your word and may you feed your people with it, Lord. May we be edified. Lord, for those that are discouraged, we ask that you take your word. May you encourage each one. For we know that we're living in a wicked day. We know it's an evil time. But it's also the greatest of all time to be able to be living in this hour. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can stand tonight, Lord, Father, and recognize what you've called us to be. We thank you, Lord, for giving us ears to be able to hear. Come among us tonight, I pray, Lord, and we'll be so careful that when the last word is said and the last song is sang, that you'd receive all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated for a few moments. Certainly honored to stand before you. I want to take this thought tonight, and I want to backdrop it just for a few moments with this Old Testament story that is laid here, and I'm sure you've read it many different times, and it's nothing new to you, but we'll just use it maybe to preach about God's grace and God's mercy, and I believe he is a merciful God. I trust you believe that, and we know that according to the scripture, we know that we're living in the time of the fulfillment of every Bible prophecy. We know that we're living in a time where every scripture, every shadow, every type that has laid both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we understand, according to the message, Brother Ram tells us that those types are coming to life today. Because we would look and see that the greatest of all times would be living in this day, which is the hour of Revelation. It's the hour of the book of Revelation, where it's the unfolding to where you and I are at even now. And we know that Brother Ram tells us in the message unveiling of God, 1964, Brother Ram says, every parable in the Bible, every type in the Bible is made manifest right before us. And he said, the same God in the pillar of fire that wrote the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is right here manifesting it, showing just exactly what it was. It's right back to it. Sure, it makes the interpretation known to us. So we see that every Old Testament example, even into the New Testament, Brother Ram says each one of those examples, each one of those shadows that laid in the Old Testament, it's now coming to full fruition in the hour that you and I are living in as the bride of Jesus Christ. And we can look in the scripture and find how that the parallel of this age ever lays within the scripture. It's just the story of redemption. And when God lays out redemption, he tells a story. Many times he'll use a different character. He'll use a different person. But yet it's the same story of redemption every time he tells us. And then we'll see how that we can look within the scripture, and Jesus would tell us according to the word that there would be a time that that the wheat would be planted. Of course, we know that when the enemy seen that the good seed was going into the ground, that the enemy come right behind him. And he sowed the tares into the same field. And we understand that they've grown together until this time now. And now it's come to the harvest of what has been planted. And we find that we're living in the parable that Jesus had talked about. This is the fulfillment of the parable of what Jesus was showing us. We can go back into the Old Testament. We can find how that the scripture would project to us how that there would be a little Gentile bride by the name of Ruth, and how that Ruth would come upon the right field. The scripture actually used the word hap. She would, H-A-P, the only time used in the Bible. She happed upon the field of Boaz. And then we understand that if there's a Ruth in the Old Testament, somebody's got to be the fulfillment of that type in the scripture. Somebody's got to be the Ruth. But not just a Ruth. We understand that not just a Ruth, but there is a Boaz. And we believe that we know who the type of Boaz is today. And Boaz is the kinsman redeemer who come to buy back Ruth. But not just Ruth, he come to buy back Naomi as well. And we're living in the fulfillment of that type in the scripture. You believe that tonight? And then we can look back into the Old Testament, even to the book of Genesis, and how that Abraham would commission his servant Eliezer. And he told Eliezer, I want you to go down and I want you to find a bride for my son Isaac. and how that servant Eliezer, Brother Branham said, he went hunting for character. He went looking for character, and he comes down to the place finally to where here is a woman. It's amazing how that God meets these people at the well, but yet here comes Eliezer, and he said, "Oh Lord, let the damsel that not only offers me some water, but let the damsel who also wants to water my camels, let her say that, and I'll know that's a sign that she's the one." And we know that according to the scripture, how that Eliezer goes. And here comes this woman just at the right time on the right day. And this so happens to be she's blood kin to this Isaac. Hallelujah. And how that she not only offers Eliezer a drink, but she says, "Let me water your camels also." You say, "Well, but that's not that big of a deal." Well, when it's a 10 camel train, that's going to take a lot of trips back to the well. And we understand that she's going to water the camels, which was going to pack her to go meet her bridegroom, Isaac, in the middle of a field. And Barak tells us that that bridegroom, would be Isaac, but then she would ride upon that 10 camel train, and how that those camels would represent a beast. And Brother Ram said that beast represents a power, and how that the very power, that the very thing that she watered would be the power that was going to take her back to meet her Isaac. But I don't know about you, but I believe that's what this message is. The very thing that's going to change our bodies one day is this message that you and I are watering in this hour that's going to pack us to meet our bridegroom Isaac one day. We understand who Eliezer is. Amen. We understand who Abraham was a type of. But then there was somebody has to water the camels in this hour. Somebody's got to be the bride type. And I want to say, this is the hour that this scripture is coming to life tonight. Amen. It's coming to life. Right in this very building, there's the anti-type to the Rebecca in this church tonight. We understand that we're not looking for, we're looking for the final manifestation of every parallel of the scripture. Brother M tells us in the message of the hour that the one who wrote the book, he is here to reveal the book to us. You believe that tonight? And we understand by scriptural types that God has showed us how that these things would come and would take place. And we would read the story from even the book of Genesis right on down to the book of Revelation. And through the time, God would give us types and glimpses of how much mercy and how much grace he has allotted to us in this hour. And if there's ever been a time we need grace today. There ever was a time that a man needs mercy, but we need help of the Lord today. If there's ever been a time we need more of God. We need more of God tonight. You believe that? Even how that we can look back into the very book of Genesis where how that God knowed it before he ever created man. God knew that man was going to fall. But then God, not just knowing that man would fall, but that God would actually come down to the garden after man had done fail. And the scripture would tell us, and the prophet so beautifully would bring it to us and show us how that God come down into the garden. And Abraham said, he said, there was God running through the garden, screaming, "Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou?" Brother, I don't know what you see in that, but for God to run through the garden looking for his fallen son, I see grace in that tonight. I see mercy in that. I see love. I see such a power of grace that would come down looking for his son, Adam. Isn't that just astounding? That God being all-knowing, right? Knowing the beginning from the end. But Remnant says it like this. Who's this? Melchizedek 65. He said he knowed every time that a flea would bat his eye in Egypt. He knows every hair that was on your head. But yet the all-knowing God would come into the garden, and he'd come screaming through the garden asking Adam, "Where art thou?" It's not that God didn't know where Adam was. God knowed where Adam was. But he wanted Adam to know where Adam was. Amen, somebody. Again, we see how that God would go off and he would kill this lamb and take those bloody lambskins. He would come over and he'd wrap his children in those bloody lambskins. I don't know what you see. I see grace in that lambskin. I see that blood. Barabbas said, he said, my, one of the most saddest parts of the scripture. He said, Adam and Eve walking out of the garden, those lambskins beating against their legs and blood running down their legs. Brother, that blood is a sign of grace. That blood is a sign of mercy. Amen. It's the mercy of the Father that would come to get a son. Hallelujah. Even when it come to Abraham, after man had failed, God came to Abraham, and God was going to have to make a covenant. And the scripture tells us that when God could swear but no greater, he couldn't swear but no greater. He had to swear by the only thing that could keep his own word. And Abraham tells us that God was the first one to believe his own word. And I want to say this, God can keep his word. Man falls short. Humanity has fell short. The age has fallen short. But God can keep his word even yet tonight. Abraham tells us how that God come in there and he began to make a covenant with Abraham. You say, well, what kind of a covenant would he make? Remember, it was going to be a grace covenant. It was going to be an unconditional covenant. Not upon how good he is. It's not upon what he does. But it's an unconditional covenant. In other words, Abraham, in spite of your failures, I'm going to give you grace. Amen. Hallelujah. In spite of your mistakes, I'm going to give you grace. In spite of your shortcomings, I'm making this covenant with you. You're not making it with me. I'm making it with you. And I'm going to give you grace, Abraham. Brother, that's what we needed tonight. We needed that kind of a grace. We couldn't keep it. Man can't keep it, but God can keep it. Hallelujah. We see that even the scriptures, glimpses of this grace that God would pour out. And how that Brother tells us that even when it comes to David, that David, according to the rejected king, Brother said that David was going to be a type of Jesus Christ. And even the man himself, many times when he was portraying this life, he didn't even understand exactly everything that he was doing. He just only knew he was felt to do something. He didn't know exactly what it was. And Brother Rob picks it up and he says it like this in Revelation of Jesus Christ. He said when David was rejected as a king, when he went up over that hill on the Mount Olives and he looking back, he was weeping as a rejected king. And a few hundred years later, oh, what's the parallel? A few hundred years later, the son of David climbed up that same hill as a rejected king, and he wept over Jerusalem. See, that was the spirit in type and in form. Again, he tells us the message of Christ, the mystery God revealed. He said, see, all those things in the Old Testament typed him. It was just in a type, but yet the mystery of it was hid. Them men didn't know what they were doing. They only knew they were led by the Spirit to do something. Now, we see that David then, being a type of Christ, as he would weep over as a rejected king, he would weep over Jerusalem only to see in the anti-type how that the Lord Jesus himself would go there in that same place and he begin to weep over Jerusalem as a rejected king. And I want to say this, the king again has been rejected in this age. Amen. He's been rejected in his age. His word's not welcome in this age. His word's not welcome in churches no more. They'd rather take a creed or a dogma or a man's idea. Oh, but I want to say this. There is somebody who's going to stay with it. I said there's somebody that's going to believe it. Though the thousands may fall to the left and 10,000 to the right. But God's going to have an elected, predestinated church who's going to stand upon that word. Hallelujah. David is a rejected king. Here, David, in this portion of the scripture, here David is coming into power. Oh, how can I say this? David was coming into power, and David was getting ready to take the position upon his throne. And David had already been anointed by the prophet Samuel. David had already stood, even the time when another was reigning, and David tending out to his daddy's sheep, but here come the prophet Samuel. And he looked at all the sons of Jesse and he didn't see what he was looking for. He seen strong men, but that wasn't what he was looking for. He seen educated men, but that wasn't what he was looking for. He seen men that had the ability to speak and no doubt was great learned individuals. But then Samuel asked Jesse, is there any that's left? He said, oh yeah, I got one more. but he's just a little shrimp, a little ruddy boy. He's out there tending the sheep. And the prophet said, that's the one I want to meet. That's the one I want to meet. You know why? Because there was a king among the sons. There was a king. Hallelujah. There was a heart of a king represented among all the sons. That's our Savior tonight. Oh my, among the sons of men, God has resurrected a king for you and I. We understand that now that Saul, according to the prophet, has become backslidden, has fell away, and he's taken man's leadership besides the leadership of the Lord. And how that now that Saul's reign was coming to an end and David was taking his position. Hallelujah. I want to say it like this. How that David, being the type of Christ, was coming to his place. David, being a type of Christ, he was coming to his position. And I want to say this. David had been fighting some battles. But not only had David been fighting, David had been overcoming. Amen. I'm telling you, Christ is an overcomer. And David had been overcoming. How that David stood before every enemy. He was the Lord's anointed. Amen. You realize, brother and sister, what the Philistine didn't know, what Goliath could not understand, is Goliath had no chance of killing David. It wasn't even possible that Goliath could kill David. You say, wait a minute, brother. It was a war. There was no chance David could have been killed by Goliath. There was no chance that the spear of Goliath could kill David. You realize there was no way he could lose. He was anointed to overcome. He'd already been anointed by the prophet to become the king over Israel. And David can't fall on the battlefield and be the king over Israel. Are you with me now? I said David was anointed to overcome. David was anointed to win the battle. And I want to say this, because you have the same anointing tonight, which is the anointing of Christ, we are anointed to overcome. We're anointed to stand in this hour when Satan would bring everything he has against you. You're anointed to overcome. David was an invincible army. No spear could kill David. Feel my preacher coming on now. Amen. No spear could kill David. No sword could kill David. No rogue enemy could kill David. David was already anointed by the prophet to become the king. You look at yourself and think I'm just a weak Christian. I go to church and I try to serve the Lord and I feel like I'm not very much. What you can't see is the devil's scared of you. What you can't see is you're anointed to overcome in this hour. He has already seen us. Amen, somebody. He'd already said there's going to be some overcomers. He already said there's going to be a victorious church. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against. I've already been seen riding on a white horse. Amen. I've already been seen victorious. I've been seen in the millennial reign. I've been seen in the future home. David was anointed to take the throne. No sword, no spear, no devil, no demon, no imp out of the darkest regions of hell could slip in and upset the plan that God had already begun to start. You know what I'd do with that? I'd get a hold of that right there. There ain't nothing going to stop God's plan for my life. I heard the prophet say going down the road, if God puts you here, he puts you here for a purpose. Brother, you're not just here just to fill up time. You're not just here because somebody decided you to be here. You are here for a purpose tonight. God allotted you to be here. He allotted me to be here. Amen. David was God's anointed. David overcomes. Now watch Christ. David overcomes. And he takes his place. Now, once David overcomes and he takes his place, he's there one day and he begins to remember. You can find this in the scriptures. You can remember a time that Jonathan and David was best friends. And how that in their friendship, glory, that David had made a covenant with Jonathan. And Jonathan had made a covenant with David that if anything should ever happen to me, David, I want you to promise me as your friend. I want you to swear by me that if anything happens to me, that you'll take care of my family. And David, in exchange, makes a covenant with Jonathan. And now, Saul and Jonathan, according to the scripture, and the prophet tells us how that Saul simply could not accept that the time of tomorrow there would be a battle, and how that Saul was going to fall on the battlefield. Saul has a hard time accepting this change. And I wanted to say like this, because we're talking about Christ, but now even the Jews had a hard time to be able to accept the change of administration as it moved from the old Levitical law, and now it comes to the New Testament under Christ, how that grace would come into effect. And now a covenant had been made. And now here David takes his place. And David after the battle, David after he overcomes, begins to remember the covenant he had made with Jonathan. Oh, hallelujah. I can say a little better than that. I said after he overcome, he begins to remember his promise of his word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, somebody. Now notice, as he begins to recall the covenant that he had made with Jonathan, we know that that Saul and Jonathan is a fall on the battle of Jezreel. And the story would be, of course, according to the scripture, how that they fall on the battlefield. And when somebody would fall, I don't even know exactly how to put this, but when somebody falls, bad news has a way of traveling very fast. Even in an age without social media as we have today, bad news has a way of traveling. And here, Saul being king over Israel, and then his son, according to Jonathan, being his right-hand man, standing beside his father. But yet, here they take and they go to the battlefield. And on the battlefield, of course, they fall. But not just anyway, but when not just another soldier fallen, but now the king has died in battle. The king has died on the battlefield. And how quickly the word spread that the king has fallen in the middle of this battle. Oh my. In the middle of the time of war, the king falls. And the word begins to reach from, no doubt, village to village until it reaches back to the palace that the king has died. The king is dead. And now, when the king would be upset, as in, and I love to study history, and I've been to some of these places, and even in Europe and different parts of the world to visit some of these places, these kingdoms that had strong kings that had ruled, and how that it's such an unsettling thing in whenever the king would fall, the people become unsettled and their minds begin to wander, because now there's no leadership to help them, to lead them to where they need to go. And there's always they're always jockeying for position to where who's going to try to become king? Who's going to raise up to be heir of the throne? But during this time, according to the scripture, that Jonathan had a son. This son, being such a young boy, he's being watched over by this woman. The scripture actually calls her a nurse. And her job was to watch over Mephibosheth, to make sure that he's safe and he's fed and he's taken care of. But now the word reaches the palace that the king is dead. And whenever she hears the word that the king is dead, they have the mindset with any kingdom that when a king would die, that the next king that's coming in to take that throne, he would kill every member of that old king's family, because he wanted nobody raising up to pose a threat to his kingdom. Oh, I feel like preaching right there. So he wants to destroy every son, every grandson, every great-grandson, anybody that's left of that family. That new king coming in would destroy anybody of the old kingdom. Glory. And the Bible tells us in 2 Samuel chapter 4 that Jonathan Saul's son had a son that was lame on his feet. Now watch. He was 5 years old when the tidings came. Saul and Jonathan died in Jezreel. Now watch what happens. She hears that the king is dead. And when she hears that the king is dead, she knows that this young boy, his life is in jeopardy. And she made an oath with the king that she would protect this boy at all costs. She would make sure that she would stand on behalf of this boy. And when the news comes that the king is dead and that his father, Jonathan, is dead, she ran to get this boy. And when she went to pick this boy up, she dropped this boy on the ground. And when she dropped him, the boy became lame on his feet because of the fall.
All right. Amen.
Let me say it like this. Because of a woman getting in a hurry, it caused the fall.
Amen.
Because of a woman getting in a hurry, she drops this boy on the ground, and when she dropped him, the boy became lame because of the fall. Oh, let me just say it. Because Eve got in a hurry, the whole human race has become crippled because of a woman getting in a hurry. And now every person born after the fall is born in a lame condition.
Amen.
You with me now?
Yes, sir.
Amen, somebody. Now this boy, the Bible says that when the nurse took him up and fled, it came to pass that she made haste to flee, that he fell and he became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. Now this boy, he is heir to this throne. He's being raised to be king over Jerusalem. Hallelujah. But I want to say this. How that David is sitting on his throne one day, and he begins to remember the covenant that he had made with Jonathan.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now this boy, you have to remember that this boy was taken and he was hidden away for some ages. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
For some ages he'd been hidden away. But now, oh, I see Revelation 5. But now, after he's taken his place, David has come to his position. He begins to remember the covenant he had made with Jonathan. He begins to remember his word. And David, being a type of Christ, he made this covenant that if anything would happen, I'll take care. I swear to you, I'll take care of your family. And now David remembers this covenant. And so watch now. David calls for the servant of the old kingdom. He calls for Ziba. And Ziba was Saul's servant. He was his right-hand man. He knew the affair of the providence. He knew what was going on. So he calls Ziba into his presence and he asks this man, Ziba, is there anybody that's left of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?
Right.
Hallelujah. Is there anybody that's left that I can literally show grace unto that person? Oh, hallelujah. Now Saul's servant says, yeah, there's somebody that's alive. There's somebody that's left. There's somebody that is alive and remains. Glory. But he's not living here. He's living in a different country. Hallelujah. He's living a long ways from Jerusalem. Now understand, Jerusalem means from above. The prophet said Jerusalem means the city of peace. Jerusalem is where the anointed lives at. Jerusalem is where you feed at. Jerusalem is where you water at. But he's not living in Jerusalem. Amen, somebody. He's living in a place where he cannot receive spiritual food. Hallelujah. He's not feeding the way he needs to feed. Because he's not living in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. He's living a long ways from Jerusalem. Jerusalem's a place of peace. It's a place of rest. It's not your works or my works. It's a place of rest.
Hallelujah.
And David says, I love this. Think about it. He said, yeah, there's somebody that's left. There's a boy that's left, but he's not living here. I want to tell you something, King. He's lame on both of his feet. You know what David says? Where is he?
Amen. Glory to God.
Where is he? Well, maybe you didn't hear what I said. I said this boy's got some problems. He's got some struggles. Got some stuff he deals with. Got some besetting sins. Got some things he's praying about. He's lame on his feet. Yeah, he's going to have some help. Yeah, he's got a lot of trouble. And the king act like he never even heard it. Where is he? I'm talking about grace tonight. I'm talking about mercy. I'm talking about love. Where is he? Well, you don't understand, King. He's living a long ways from here. He's living a long ways from here. But he says, where is he? He's got some problems. Where is he at? Well, let me tell you where he's at. I love it. Because grace did not start for this boy looking for this king. But grace started in the throne room of God.
Hallelujah.
Come on, somebody. I'm going to say it again. You wasn't looking for it. And I wasn't looking for it. But it started in God's throne room. And it came looking for you. It come hunting you. It come searching for you. I'm talking about grace tonight. Grace come looking for you. It ain't what you did. It ain't what I did. It's what he has done. Before Mephibosheth was ever aware of grace, he'd already started looking for him. Amen. Somebody ought to be throwing a chair right now.
Amen.
You didn't know anything about it, but it already began to look for you. It already began to hunt for us. Conversation had then been made. The king said, is there yet any of the house of Saul? He said, yeah, Jonathan has a son that he's lame on his feet. And the king said, what's the Bible? Not a question. And the king said, where is he? Just because he's lame, he's not going to stop looking. Just because he's got some problems, he's not going to stop looking. Can you take that much grace tonight? Just because he's got some issues around his life, the king said, I feel like preaching on that right there. Where is he? Well, he's got some mistakes in his past. Where's he at? Well, he's been married a couple of times. Where's he at? Well, she's done some horrible things in her past. Where is he? Where is he at? Well, he's done some things you don't understand. Oh my, he's done this, she's done that, she's done some of that. Where is he at?
Right.
Brother, if you could ever realize how powerful God's grace really is. Well, Brother David, you don't know what happened 25 years ago. You don't know what happened 45 years ago. All I'm telling you is the king said, where is he?
Right.
I'd put that on my fridge if I was you. Where is he? Where is she? Where are they? Well, they got some problems. I don't care where they're at. Amen, church. Grace come looking for us. I didn't know nothing about grace, but it come looking for me. I didn't know nothing about mercy, but it come searching for me. Come on, somebody. Oh, friends, what it should mean to us to be sought out by the king tonight. If you've been sought out by the king and he's called your name and you recognize what grace has done, what it ought to mean to us if the king has sought you out? You realize the devil will never do that for you. The devil will use you up and forget about you. The devil will use you up and kick you to the curb like a bad habit. Preach somebody right there. Devil don't care nothing about you. Amen, somebody. Oh, listen, he cares nothing about you. He cares nothing about your future. But here's the king that hears this boy's lame, but he still says,
oh, hallelujah.
Where is he?
Amen.
I'm trying to calm down, so just give me a minute here. Amen. I promise you, he's good, ain't he?
Amen.
Where is he? You know what that tells me? Regardless of circumstance or conditions, right, Abraham? Regardless of condition, king's still looking for him. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
But the grace of God can't forget you. Matter of fact, grace will never be able to forget you. Jesus cannot forget his own. Amen. For the Bible says that our names are inscribed on the palms of his hands. He can't forget his own because we're inscribed into that body. He can't forget about you. He can't forget about me because your name is there. Brother, God will seek you out. Woo, that's good preaching if I got to say so myself. Woo. Amen, somebody. I said, grace will find you. I don't care if you're in a barroom, it'll find you. I don't care if you're a dope head, it'll find you. I don't care if you're a drug addict, it'll find you. It don't matter to me if you was a prostitute. Grace can find you. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Well, if you knew him like I knew him, where is he? Come on, somebody. If you knew everything I know about him, you wouldn't be looking for him. Where is he?
Thank you, Jesus.
If you understand, it takes us a while to tell you everything that she's done. Where is he? Can you handle that? I know that's the kind of grace that hits you right in the nose because people don't know what to do with that kind of grace. But I'm talking about God's grace. I'm talking about his mercy. I'm talking about how much love he has, how much grace he has. Amen. I heard the prophet say a while ago in the message on coming storm, Brother Ram said they asked the God one time, can he forget about Israel? He said, how can a man forget about his own? Amen. Brother, that's why you can't forget your children. If you got children, I don't care the way they do you, what they say to you, what they've done to you, you can't forget about your own. You can't forget about your own. They're your kids. They may have done everything in the world, but they're your kids. They may have made your family look bad, but they're your kids. They may have gotten all kinds of things, but they're your kids. Where is he? Where is she at? Just because he's lame, he don't stop the king. Makes me think that there ain't nothing going to stop him. Makes me think there ain't nothing too big for my God. Amen, somebody. Brother, just read the history of Israel if you don't think he's a merciful God. Read the history of Israel if you don't think how much grace God has. Man, we wouldn't put up with that for 5 minutes. Say, I have no other gods before me. Here they come marrying everything in the world, bringing idolatry right into the house of God. God, why don't you just do away with them? Where is he? Why don't you just forget about him? Where is he? The king said, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, now let me tell you where he's at. He's got some problems. Is that all right? He's in the house of Micah, the son of Amiel. He's living in a place called Lodabar. Now, let me tell you what the word Lodabar means. Hang on to this. It means he's living in a barren wasteland. I'm preaching for you. That's where we lived at. We lived in a barren wasteland. When it's a barren wasteland, it don't have the grass that the cattle need to feed upon. It can't support growth because there's not enough food. It's a barren, desolate wasteland. Ain't no fruit in Lodabar of the Spirit. Ain't no joy in Lodabar. Ain't no happiness in Lodabar. Only thing you can do in Lodabar is sit around and look at the problems you got. Preach right there. All you can do is sit around, look at your mistakes, look at your shortcomings, look at your faults and failures. That's all you can do in a barren wasteland. There ain't no fruit to pick off the trees. They ain't no, listen friends, it's a barren land, which means that the water was limited in that land. You drunk by rations. You drunk because there's a limited supply. You don't drink like you'd normally drink, and you don't eat. I'm preaching somebody. You don't eat the way you need to eat. It's a barren wasteland. It means it's a place of no pasture, which means, think about this, there's no feeding. There's no feeding. There's no pasture. In other words, it's the ground is just cracked open and it's so barren that the animals are so thin and skinny because there's barely anything to eat. And that's where this boy, that's where the son of a king was living at. God have mercy. Hey, man, there's no word. There's no speaking. It literally means a place of no communication. Nobody to talk to. Nobody to fellowship with. Preach somebody. No communication, no fellowship, no speaking, no word. Can I say it? You weren't even interested in the message. Come on, somebody. You weren't interested in good water. You weren't interested in good food because you can't eat it when you're in Lodabar. Mephibosheth was hiding in a desolate place. No flock. Think about this. No real food. Just a wasteland. No love. No joy. No peace. No godliness. All you can do is sit around and look at your problems all the time. God have mercy. Oh, here you go. All you can do is sit around and dream about what you could have been. I just defined America the best I know how. Amen, somebody. I mean, you look at this mess we're living in today. You look who we're having to vote for in November. No, sir, not either one of them because they ain't worth their salt. Is that all right, somebody? Because we're living in a barren wasteland. Because I'll remind you, in 1956, the prophet said America will either accept the gospel or they'll turn it down this year. And I predict they'll turn it down. Guess what? He was right. They turned down the message of the hour and turned America into a barren wasteland. Amen. Oh, God. He's living in Lodabar. Ain't no good gospel singing in Lodabar. Ain't no singing like you heard tonight in Lodabar. Ain't nobody to encourage you in Lodabar. Ain't nobody to pat you on the back tell you can make it in Lodabar. Preach, Brother David. Ain't no camp meeting atmosphere in Lodabar. Ain't no good gospel preaching. Come on, somebody. Ain't nobody to stand beside you. It's a place that's a barren wasteland. But what Mephibosheth didn't know is somebody's looking for him. But that's the story of my life. You weren't even aware of it, but he was already looking for you. I said, Adam, where art thou? He was already looking. Adam wasn't even aware of it, but God came looking for him. You didn't run to God. You didn't run to God. You wasn't hunting for God. He went hunting for you. But David, I went looking for him. You never did know such a thing. No man can come to the Father unless he draws him first. Amen, somebody. We're not much in Armeniums. We believe the message of the hour. He went looking for us. He come to find me. He's the one that called me. He's the one that was seeking me out. Adam wasn't the one hollering in the garden. God, where art thou? God, where art thou? It was God looking for Adam.
Amen.
You didn't pursue after God. God pursued after you. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Think about it. Where in the world did that woman at the well, at Jacob's well that day, what did she do? She was going about her normal daily activities. She went down at the right time to Jacob's well to draw some water. Amen, somebody.
Right.
But what she didn't know is Jesus then told the disciples, go buy some meat. Come on, somebody.
Right.
Because I got need. Come on. I got need to go buy Smyrna. I got need to go buy there. There's an elected, predestinated, ordained before the foundation of the world. Hey, so what? Well, Lord, she's got some problems. I'm going to Jacob's well. She's had five husbands. I'm going to Jacob's well. Where is he? Where is she? She wasn't looking for Jesus.
Nope.
Jesus come looking for her.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. It's amazing where God finds people at. He found Joseph in a pit. Amen, somebody. Rejected by his brothers. He found him in a pit, but he raised him up to sit on the right hand. Amen, somebody. The prodigal son was found in a pig pen. Come on, church. But the father went running after the son. Hallelujah. I said, the Father showed the prodigal son grace and mercy, and he went running to him.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? The Father went running after his son.
Amen.
Where is he? David says it like this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I like that. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. All the days Brother David, all my days ain't been righteous. All the days. Amen. All my days ain't been holy. All the days. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. You know what that word follow means? It means to pursue after. It means to hunt you down. It means to chase after ardently. It means to go until you get them back. Go and run until you get them back. To eagerly secure back to where it belongs. He'll pursue after you. Brother, that tells me, you let a man run as hard as he wants to run, and God's grace will chase that man down and bring him back to where God wants him to be at.
Amen.
Amen. One of my family members called me the other day and said their daughter turned 18, went and cut her hair, took all of her clothes and got rid of them and wearing everything and tattooed up and pierced up. And she said, I don't even know what I'm going to do. I said, I wouldn't even worry about it. Amen. Excuse me? Say hello, 1, 2. Excuse me? I said, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Amen. Brother, if you raise them according to the admonition of the Lord, you brought them up in the ways of the message, grace will go find them. Grace will hunt them down and live. Listen, he will literally tie, if he has to hog time, hog time. Whatever he's got to do to bring them back, God knows how to bring them back. I'm worried about it. I ain't. God's got it in control. Come on, somebody. I said, God's got it in control. Hattie Wright got her boys. Come on, somebody. I remember the scripture that they told Rahab, go get your family underneath that token. Go claim your family, brother. If there's still a token then, there's got to still be a token today. All you got to do is claim that child and let grace go get them. I love reminding God of his word. You told me if I raise them like this, you told me they'll not depart. Come on, somebody. God's got this. I feel like preaching that right now. I said, God's got this. What are you worried about? God's got it. What are you upset about? God's got it. What are you worried about? What in the world? Well, we flock around and we worry around until finally we make ourselves sick. God's got this, church. He got you, didn't he? Where is he? Got you, didn't he? Look what you was doing. Look where you was at. You doing everything you wanted to do or thought you wanted to do. Because you get to a certain, there's a certain age, I can't help it. There's a certain age on a kid, they go nuts. There's a certain age, they get to the place. It's amazing. They know more than the parent. They know more than the preacher. They know more than the prophet. They know more than anybody else. And I want to go, oh, wise one. As I come into thy great presence, who taught this? Who tells them one day they'll wake up and go, I know everything. Ted's dumb. Mom's crazy. Mm-hmm. Preach, Brother David. Amen. Where is he? Where is he? Brother, when I couldn't get to God, I'm so glad. This is personal to me. I'm glad he got to me.
Amen.
Amen. Hide where you want, run where you want. He'll find you, brother and sister. Amen. And the King David, now watch, where is he? He's in Lodabar. Watch the Bible. And the king sent and fetched him out. You see that word right there? He fetched him out of the house of Micah, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Watch this word, fetch. You got it, don't you? Preaches all by itself. Fetch. Fetch. It ain't coming back by itself. I said it ain't coming back by itself. But he sent and fetched him out, which means something had to pick him up. Something had to pick you up. Something had to carry you back. I'm talking about grace tonight. Grace knew where we was. Grace knew we couldn't make it back by ourselves. So he fetched you out.
Amen.
It means to seize. It means to bring back glory. It means to snatch away, take away, to carry along, to carry back. Because it can't carry itself.
Amen.
God, if you don't even know what I'm talking about. He knows you can't walk it on your own. So if you can't walk it, you'll find eventually there's one pair of feet tracks in the sand. He'll just go ahead and carry you back. That sounds, I don't know what that sounds like to you, but that sounds a lot like grace. Because grace ain't your ability plus your ability plus God's ability plus your ability. Grace ain't got nothing to do with you. Grace ain't got nothing to do with your ability. It ain't how good you are, how pious you are, how much you pray, how much you read. That ain't talking about grace. Grace ain't about what you and plus what he did plus what you can do and what he can do. It's all about him. You're going to find out it's all about him. He is in you. Amen, somebody. Greater is he that is in me than he that is. If I can't do it by myself, that's all right. He'll carry me back if he has to. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody needed grace to pick you up? I'm not talking about some sloppy, sinny grace. I'm not talking about disgrace. I'm talking about amazing grace that can pick you up and carry you back. Well, that makes me feel good. You know why? I ain't ashamed of this grace. I ain't ashamed to preach about it. You know why? You and I was headed to hell at 1,000 miles an hour. And Jesus interrupted my life. He interrupted my life. He gave me the Holy Ghost. He gave me this book full of promises. I've got something to be excited about tonight. Amen. He reached down and picked me up, fetched me out. Amen. You know why you're serving God tonight? Can I remind you? Because he found you. Amen. It ain't because of how good you are. It ain't even your righteousness. You get people around and think that, if I'm around this message long enough, I can be righteous enough, brother. I ain't no difference between you and the 11th hour worker. We all get the same grace. We all get in the same pay. We all need amazing grace. Amen, somebody. No wonder Paul said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in. Amen. God gives us grace, but watch. You got to accept that grace. Can I get real a minute? Can I just be me? Is that all right? There's people around this message that needs to understand what grace can do for somebody. We've all got our troubles. We've all got our problems. We've all been through it. These people around this message have been preacher burnt, and the church said. There's preachers around this message that's been lady burnt, and the church said. These people get to the place where they ain't got no confidence in nobody. They ain't got confidence in daddy no more. Nobody else. Come on, somebody. You know why? It's because they get to a place where they live in such a desolate place so long they forget what grace can do. But I want to tell you, if there's a false, he's got to be a genuine. Come on, somebody. I don't think we can sit around and feel sorry for ourselves and think about what happened 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 15 years ago or 5 months ago. Yep, that means yes in Tennessee. That means no. We can't sit and daydream about what we could have been and wish I wouldn't have made this mistake. I wish I wouldn't have done that. Listen, we can sit armchair quarterback it all day long. But then when it get all said and done, ain't one person in this building didn't need the same grace that I needed. I wouldn't even be up here wearing this suit if God didn't give me grace. Amen, somebody. Whew. Brother, I wouldn't give the devil the thrill of victory of holding something over your head. Just say, hey, I've got graced. What happened to you? It ain't what happened to me. God, that's a... It ain't what happened to me. That come right off the frying pan, man, right there. It ain't what happened to me. It's who happened to me. I'm not talking about what happened to me. Let me tell you who happened to you. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And he come down and fetched me out. Amen. The devil will sell you a lie if you let him. Yes, sir, he will. I take all of my troubles, all of my problems, and I just cast them upon him. Amen. Amen. If not, what happens to you, Mephibosheth? You sit in Lodabar long enough, all you see is the problems you got. Amen, church. Amen. You start having that old crippled mentality. I'll always be this way. I'll always live this way. I'll always have this problem. I'll always have to deal with this. That's a lie. Because the king's coming by to pick somebody up tonight. Amen. Amen. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, come to David. Now watch. They bring him into the presence of the king. And the first time he comes to his presence, the Bible said, he fell on his face and did reverence. He don't know what this man's going to do. He don't know if David's bringing, David found him and now David's going to kill him. He don't know what David's going to do. But David shows the intentions of his heart from the very beginning. That's good preaching right there. I said from the very beginning. Amen. And David said, watch, the moment he comes into his presence, David calls him by name. Mephibosheth, and he answered, said, behold, now watch what Lodabar does to your mind. Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, what's David's first words? What's Christ? Fear not. I've heard that somewhere in this book before. I don't know where, but fear not. The first thing David tells him is, you don't need to fear me. You don't need to fear. I'm not here to take your life. Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. What's the next thing he tells him? I'm going to show you grace. And after you get grace, guess what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to restore. Oh, good Lord have mercy. I'm going to give you grace. And after you receive the grace, guess what he's going to give the church? I'm going to restore thee. All the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Amen. David's letting him know, this ain't just for a weekend visit. You're not just here just to visit for a few days. You're here to live. Come on, somebody. You're going to live here. You're going to stay here. This is where you belong at. Can I say it? Your days in Lodabar is over. Your days in barrenness is done. Your days in desolation is done. You're going to live here. You're going to walk around. Come on, somebody. Where is he? Jerusalem. He left a place of depression and he got peace out of it. Amen. What an exchange. Amen. I said, what an exchange. Think about it. He's not telling him, I'm just going to give you this peace just for a few days. I'm not just giving you just a vacation. You're going to live here. You're going to live under this grace. You're going to work. Come on, somebody. You're going to walk and talk under this grace. You're going to eat here. And Mephibosheth, the Bible says, bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou should look as upon such a dead dog as I am? You see what happens when you live in the wrong place too long. The mindset of what you are is very small. Not just a dog. There ain't nothing in the Bible lower than a dog. But he didn't call himself a dog. He called himself a dead dog. Anybody know the value of that? When you live in a barren place too long, you get used, you feel so useless, so worthless. You feel like that your value is absolutely nothing. And you belittle yourself so bad, you think of yourself worse than a dead dog. This boy's the grandson of a king. He's walked the floors of this palace. He's been here before. He's played in this palace before. But he's forgotten who he is. Remember Brother Brown's message, Spiritual Amnesia? The soldiers on that train, they get off, and that one soldier looks up and sees the water tower. He said something about that water tower, brought the familiarity of where he was. And he said the soldier was watching as this young soldier boy walked up the path. He'd been shell-shocked because of the war. Preach right there, somebody. And he said he watched him as he went down this meandering pathway until finally he come down over the hill, and there was a man sitting on the porch. And when he saw his son, he said, I knowed you was alive. You know what happened? He saw something familiar. Mephibosheth starts walking around the palace. I remember this place. There's something familiar. You ever been in a place that's got a certain smell, and whenever you smell it again, it brings your mind back to that spot. Good and bad. Preach right there. You may know what I'm talking about. Amen. Like some of those smells, you don't ever want to smell it again. Then some of those places, man, that's wonder. That's, they're like it at the mall, at the Body Works, whatever they call it. But here he is walking through the palace. I remember. Can you remember that? Maybe when you was just a kid and you remember how the Spirit used to fall in church. I remember. Maybe you remember how you used to have a peace of mind and you actually had some joy and you couldn't wait to get out of bed the next day. Wouldn't that be a change? Preacher. I've been in this place before. I've walked through these halls before. I've lived in this place before. And the day that grace became amazing is when you recognize what you was always supposed to be.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. I was born to be this. I was born to believe this message. I was born to be this, somebody. I was born to live in this place. Can I tell you? You wasn't born to be a drug addict. You wasn't born to be an alcoholic. You wasn't born to be a prostitute. You was born to be a son or a daughter of the king. I was born to live in Jerusalem. I was born to live here. And the king said to Ziba, Saul's servant, said, I want you to go get everything that pertains to this boy. And I want you to restore everything back that he lost due to the fall.
Yes.
Amen, somebody. Therefore, thy sons and thy daughters. I love this. I want you to till his land and bring the fruits. But as for Mephibosheth, he's going to eat at my table. Just like one of my sons. He's going to eat at my table. Grace did not make this boy a servant. It restored him back to what he was. He was a son. So David's not going to restore him halfway. He's going to bring him all the way back from what he lost. He was a son. And grace took him back to what he was always supposed to be. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that night at the dinner table? There's an extra chair at the table. Amen, somebody. I need one. Where's one at? There's an extra chair. I hate to put you out, David, but do you mind? We need an extra chair at this table tonight.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm a little Pentecostal. You got to watch what you say in front of me. There's an extra chair at the table tonight.
Amen.
Daddy, do we got company? No, there ain't no company in this house tonight.
Amen.
Well, we notice there's an extra chair at the table. Is there somebody visiting? Ain't nobody visiting. But we seen the extra chair at the table. We just want to know who it is. Can I tell you whose chair this is? It's the king's sons. This belongs to somebody. This chair belongs to somebody. And he put it at the right place. David, he's sitting there. His family's sitting there. And here comes Mephibosheth. He's still lame, by the way. Got some problems. But he's going to the king's table. He limps his way down the stairs. He limps his way over to the table. And he sees a chair at the table. Everybody else has got a seat. You know whose this one is? This is my chair. It's my chair. Can I sit in this chair? Well, I'm going to because it's mine. Grace, give it to me.
Amen.
So he sits at the king's table as one of the king's sons. And he takes that tabletop of grace and he pulls it over his lap and he's sitting at the table. And when you're sitting at the king's table, you look like everybody else.
Right.
You know why? Because your crippled spots are covered up.
Amen.
At the king's table.
Amen.
You look like everybody else. You can eat like everybody else and you can talk like everybody else. Because everybody at that table is covered by the same grace.
Amen.
That you're covered with.
Amen.
I hear Brother Bram say, there's a table 1,000 miles long. And he said, the redeemed of all the earth is going to sit at that table. I love the way he says, he said, battle-scarred soldiers who fought to win the prize, sailed through bloody seas, they're going to sit at that table one day. Can you imagine that table? Stretched 1,000 miles long. It's going to have a chair with your name on it.
Amen.
Don't misunderstand me. But Paul ain't getting my chair. I like Paul. I like to read his writing, but he ain't getting that chair. Luther and Wesley ain't getting my chair. I love them, but they ain't getting, that's my chair. You know what happens when you're at a wedding ceremony and you're part of the bridal party, preach right there. It's got your name where your chair is.
Amen.
I got a place reserved at the king's table. Can you imagine, brother, when you walk down through that table and you see these people, redeemed brothers and sisters, and you find a place that's got your name on it? I feel like strutting around a little bit. Got my chair right there. My boy right there. Not your chair, it's my chair. Quit looking at it. It's my chair right there. I think I'll sit down since the king reserved this place for me.
Amen.
What's it going to be when you sit in that chair that day? But they were real food, fake food? Don't care. Just want to sit there at that king's table. What would it be? Just a little liberty, I'll quit. And you sit there. And you look to your left and somebody's sitting there and you say, what's your name? He said, I'm the Apostle Paul. what would you say? My finite mind can't even comprehend it. But I'd like to try if it'd be all right. Paul, your words has been so moving to my life. I wouldn't even be able to get up unless there were some days I read from the books. When Paul would say something like this, when he was sitting in a Roman prison, he wouldn't say, "I, Paul, prisoner of Rome." He'd say, "I, Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ." And you look over to your right, there's a short man sitting there, dark haired. You know where I'm going, don't you? And you say, "What's your name?" And in a Kentucky accent, he says, "My name is William Branham." What would you say? There was a time in my life I felt like I was going to lose my mind. I'd put the tape on. It'd bring sanity. My kids has been sick. And I put the tape on. And God's intervened. Times in my life where I didn't know which way to turn or what to do. I'd put this message on. And it'd bring peace across me. I can't even explain to you how that peace would come across your mind when you feel like you ain't got an answer in the world. But when you put the tape on, you don't care because God's got this. God's got this. Look around, this message has meant everything to me. I wouldn't be at this table had you not went and preached the gospel. I think I can find a quote on that one. Amen. And you're sitting at the king's table and you got your place. And maybe, perhaps, here comes somebody running down through there. They run all the way down and they sit right down in front of you. And you say, "What's your name?" He says, "My name is Mephibosheth." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to remind you, he ain't going to come limping.
That's right.
Oh, come on, somebody. He's not going to come crippled. He's going to come running. Hallelujah. He's going to come running down the king's table. Find his place the way you found your place. The day that grace became amazing. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be to God. The day that grace became amazing. Can we bow our hearts tonight? Maybe every head bowed and every eye closed. Sister, if you just play Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Ram said that that day the king will come out. Brother Ram says he'll be dressed in his priestly garments. Standing there, he'll walk down that table. There the redeemed of all the ages shall gather. We'll look across at one another, tears of joy running down our cheeks. We'll see those old veterans. Oh, how we'll praise him. And then the king in his beauty is going to come out. He's going to wipe the tears from your eyes. And he'll tell you, "Don't cry no more. It's all over. We're here. Enter into the joys of the Lord." Oh, how wonderful to think tonight. Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God. Oh, amazing grace. How sweet the sound. I know it saved. It saved a wretch like me. Well, I was lost, oh, but now I am found. Amen. I was blind, oh, but now, oh, I see. Hallelujah. Oh, I said it's amazing grace. The sound. What did it do for you? Oh, it saved. Oh, tell it now. A wretch.
comes. Hallelujah. Grace. The day that grace become amazing. You remember that day. You remember that moment. Oh, I see. Oh, and praise God. Well, praise God. Praise. Hallelujah. Oh, I just feel like worshiping now. Let him know how much you love him. Let him know what his grace means to you. Grace fetched you out. Grace picked you up, brother. The day of the grace. God, pray. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace tonight. Oh, praise God. Praise. Oh, could I see it one time like this? And with heads bowed. Is there somebody in this place tonight? Maybe you don't know about this grace I'm preaching about. Maybe you've never really met him, this person called grace. Let me tell you about him. Once you meet him, you'll never forget him the rest of your life. Once you meet him, he changes you. Changes your desire. Changes your appetites. Once you meet him, you're going to want more of it. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Anybody tonight say, Brother David, I need more of that grace. Amen. God bless you, brother. God bless you. God bless you. Hands in the building. God bless you. Lord, remember me tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, you see my hands in this place go up. Lord, my hands are raised tonight because I need more of you. Lord, I need more of your grace, more of your love. I need more of you. I ask tonight, Lord, on behalf of this congregation, oh, great Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you search lives tonight? Would you search hearts tonight, I pray, Lord? May the Holy Spirit, may you move among us, I pray, oh God. Lord, may your angels take their positions, Lord, beside every pew. Father, search the hearts of your people. Lord, that was us. I needed that grace. I needed picked up and carried back. Me along with this congregation, Lord. Father, we're nothing without you, Lord. We need you tonight, Father. We need you. Father, I pray for every sick person, Lord. Maybe somebody tonight's discouraged. I ask, Lord God, may this word, I pray, may it find a bedding ground in that heart, Lord. May you touch that soul, I pray, God. May you lift them up and encourage them. Let them know they don't have to live in that old desolate, barren wasteland. They're the King's son tonight. Hallelujah. We're the King's sons tonight. We're daughters of the King. We're daughters and sons of Almighty God. Help us, I pray. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, I pray. In the name that's above every name, that name that defeats sickness, that name that conquers devils, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant it, I pray. And everybody said, amen. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Can we see that, can't you? Well, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, oh pure and holy, it's right and true, and with Lord God, oh Lord, for you, and Lord, prepare me. Glory! Won't you just take your hand out? Won't you just lift in the presence of the King tonight? Lord, that's my desire. Lord, I want to be used by you. Speak to me, Lord God. And
tonight. Well, 502, Brother Hoover. Amen. I told the church a few weeks ago, I said, you know, I've heard David and Goliath preached on 500 times. I've never heard it preached the same way. You know, every minister has a different way of bringing it, different anointing. And Brother Hoover, I didn't know, had already planned on preaching on David and Goliath that Sunday. So he said 501, Brother Nathan. But we heard 502 tonight, and it was wonderful, wasn't it? Amen. Amen. Brother Hoover preached on what was grace's name. We found out what grace's name was, but now we found out how that grace became amazing. Amen. God's good, isn't he? Oh, God's wonderful. Amen. Well, you can be seated for a moment if you want. I've been doing something for a little over a month now because of these late services we've been having on Sunday nights. I've been trying to get you out as early as I can because I know you got work on Monday. And when we're here on Wednesday, I try to be conscious that you got work on Thursday. But tomorrow is Saturday. And these are special meetings. And it's Labor Day weekend. And we're just going to worship the Lord for a little while tonight. I feel his presence here tonight. And if you've got to go, you can go. But if you don't got to go, I sure hope you stay, because I believe the Lord's presence is here tonight. Amen. Let's just worship the Lord for a little bit tonight. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing this together. Amen. Let's sing this together. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond all my faults and he saw my need. Are you thankful for that tonight? Sing this together. Maybe God found you like this one day when grace became amazing to you. Oh, once my soul was astray from the heavenly way. Oh, I was wretched and vile as could be. But my Savior above, he gave me peace, joy, and love. Oh, when he reached down his hand for me. Oh, let's sing it together. This was where you're at. Oh, I was nearing despair, but then he came to me there, and he showed me that I could be free. Oh, then he lifted my feet, gave me since he reached down his hand. Oh, let's just worship him together tonight. Oh, when he reached down his hand for me. for me. Oh, help me sing this tonight. Oh, since the Lord gave me peace, these heavenly joys, they never cease. Lord, I give all my life unto Thee. Just guide my feet, hold my hand, grant with Thee, Lord, I make stand. Oh, for You reach down Your hand for me. Oh, help me sing it together tonight. This Wednesday night, but the whole time he was singing, I was thinking about it, so we're going to sing it again. You help me tonight. One night while
I knew my destruction was a matter of said, Satan, this boy is mine. I'm saved from all harm, 'cause he walked through my storm.
To the Lamb. Amen. You appreciate the service tonight? Amen. 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 Come back tomorrow night. Amen. There's plenty more where that came from. Amen. God bless you. Didn't come from Brother David. Didn't come from Brother Nathan. It came from the throne. Amen. Amen. The presence of God, no man can produce it or fake it or simulate it. But when the presence of God is here, there's something about it the bride can recognize. Something's different. Amen. I'm thankful to be in his presence again tonight. Amen. God bless your member service tomorrow night at 7:30. We'll be looking forward. And Brother Wes will be in town. His family will be looking forward to the service. And then Sunday morning, Sunday school at 10:30 for the children, 11 for the regular service, and then 6:30 for the evening service. Brother David will be preaching for us again Sunday morning. We'll be looking forward to it. I hope he can just relax and preach. You know, he was so nervous up here tonight. I told the church Wednesday night we were going to take the instruments and move them off once they got everything out. I said I have enough room to preach, but I don't know if Brother David will, so I want to make sure he had plenty of room. So, amen. God bless you tonight. Greet one another as you go. Let's sing this together as we leave in. Oh, it's that old time Holy Spirit, and the devil won't go near it. That's the reason people fear it. But it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion.